Podcast, episode 36, recorded June 8th, 2015. Dragons, Cannibals, and Harpies.
Cannibals, harpies, and dragons.
Dragons, harpies, and cannibals.
Is that like, you know, marry, kill, fuck?
Oh, jeez. Well,
would you rather?
You've presented it now. I feel like we're obligated to try and answer this.
Yes. Would you rather burn or form a kill organization around?
Or you could kill, burn, or eat?
Yes.
I'd much rather eat.
Well, I think there's also
like to marry the dragon.
Yeah, marry the dragon.
Is that weird?
Having sex with the dragon would probably not be good.
Yeah,
and then you'd want to. But if I married a harpy, that'd be pretty bad marriage.
I'd probably kill the cannibal.
And a cannibal, or
it's just a little bit weird.
Or maybe just have sex with a cannibal so you can be in and be out.
I say marry the cannibal. Fuck the dragon and kill the harpy, because those guys are bad news.
I like that we took this seriously.
Yeah. By the way, there are three things in our title, and there are three of us, and I'm Randy.
I'm Grant.
And I'm Greg.
And we are the TV dudes.
And we're talking about Hannibal and Game of Thrones this week, and we are really creative with our titles. Let's move on, guys. We are doing a little bit of a shorter show today because we recorded a whole bunch of stuff for this week for ATX Fest as well.
Yeah, so go listen to my interviews, please.
Oh, yeah, yes. Please go listen to those interviews. Randy got a whole bunch of great ones. And
a couple terrible ones. I was actually really happy with them.
Right. He needs this.
I do. I need this. I need this.
Before we get into discussing the news and the shows, iTunes. iTunes is a lovely place where our listeners can go to support us for free.
Yes.
All they have to do is spend a little bit of their time. I guess if that costs you that much, then you're being a baby. But go there and find our show. Give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. We'll read that on the show. And it really helps us get visibility. And you guys have actually been stepping up and doing it, and we really appreciate it. We got two iTunes shout-outs this week. First one comes from Patty McBuckets. Says, hilarious and ingenious. The TV dudes have been at it for years, giving outstanding and dead-on reviews on almost every show on television. Their funny and insightful reviews turned me on to a range of great shows like True Detective, Young Justice, and Last Week Tonight. The TV dudes are the gold standard for reviewing TV for the average Joe, and y'all should watch anything they suggest because it's always worth it. Hmm. Greg? Talk more about sports, and Randy, talk more about werewolves.
Done. Okay, done.
No, Greg, he was quite joking. Thank you, Patty McBuckets. Next one comes from Henry Torbert, whose title is awesome. It says, great podcast, although it's kind of like listening to three DJs because of all of the music. All alone hey! Because it's great music.
Good.
Followed Grant over from Rage Select. Keep up the good work, guys. Maybe I've been going a little bit buck wild with my music. I might have to tone that back a little.
By the way, I have no say at all in the music, so yeah. I just assume it's good. I had no idea.
It's good. It's good.
All right. Okay.
Wait. I'm really into mashups right now.
I know.
I've been really peppering it with a lot of those.
Wait a minute. Grant, are you secretly a member of the League of Assassins? Because I know they hire DJs. That was an Arrow reference.
Oh, I thought maybe it was a Rosewood reference.
Nope.
All right, moving on from iTunes, and thank you guys for giving those shout-outs. Everyone else
Wait,
get to
can,
it.
Can I mention one thing real quick?
No.
Did you guys see the who on Twitter who he Bane DJ?
Yes, yep.
The milk video he put on Twitter.
Yes.
That was awesome. It is so funny. It's like this milk commercial. It's just this guy drinking milk and doing all this, like, talking about all this
with milk. Never letting go of it.
Yeah, it was very, very apropos of what we do, and it was great.
You know,
so I just want to mention that.
This is my one disappointment of interviews. I told Grant, maybe Greg ahead of time, I'm like, wouldn't it be fun if I could get someone to play along and be like, hey, look, after you've done the serious interview, we do this thing where there's a milk conspiracy. Would you play along with it? I didn't actually manage to get any of that done. I so wanted someone like Dan Harmon to be like, oh yeah, the milk conspiracy is totally real.
The person we should have got to do that is Justin Roiland. He would have gone, but he would have gone on for like half an hour about
tangent,
it.
Yeah, I am sorry I failed you, TV listeners, and I won't fail you again.
Well, hey, we have a patron and another patron this week.
Right on.
Kevin, he did not put his last name, so I'm not going to presume to put that as well.
Is it Kevin Bacon? Who's Kevin Bacon?
Kevin donated to us on Patreon. That's over at patreon.com/TVDudes. And thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you to all our other patrons.
Yes, thank you.
And if you guys also want to do that, you know, once again, that's patreon.com/TVDudes. All right, and we are going to move on to the news.
There's only a little bit of news this week, but it's kind of big news.
Yeah.
So first, we'll start with the small one. The small one is that there's a new Mega Man animated series being done by Man of Action Entertainment.
Ooh. Did you guys play the games?
No, never played them.
No.
I play the games. I don't think they have that complex of a story.
No, but you know what? I own a comic book store.
Right.
Mega Man and Sonic are like two of the biggest kids comic franchises there are.
Mm.
They've been going forever, and they're doing a big crossover this summer. That's Sonic Mega Man, the second one they've done, and that is like they are rock stars in the kids' world. It's crazy.
Hmm.
So it makes sense that they're doing Man of Action are the guys. They're doing 26 episode animated series.
Do we know what it's going to air on?
I don't think we know yet. It's being developed by Disney. These are the guys who did
somewhere on the Disney network.
These guys did Big Hero 6. They did Ben 10, Generator Rex.
Disney's doing it. Does Disney own Capcom now?
I don't think so.
Well, it's a Capcom,
but it's possible.
Property, I would think.
Huh. Okay, it says it's a target date of 2017. Oh, Disney XD is on Disney XD.
Ah, hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Maybe I'll watch that with my kid.
Not as interesting, however, as the big Showtime news.
Ooh.
So Showtime streaming, and the headline over at Slash Film, which we use for a lot of our news, is Showtime standalone streaming service undercuts HBO Now. And I'm like,
whoa.
That's bold.
Of course it does, because Showtime is half the network that HBO is. Let's be honest.
Ouch.
Let's be honest. Really, what have they got? Masters of Sex?
Homeland,
Penny Dreadful, you know, they've got good shows.
They're getting there.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything that's a must-watch like Game of Thrones.
Nope.
Or even Veep or Silicon
True
Valley.
True Detective.
It's just like your opinion, man.
I'm just saying, undercuts may be a little harsh. Of course it's cheaper. It makes sense. But $10.99 a month, you can get Showtime streaming, which will include not only the films and TV that they have, mm-hmm. but also premieres and like their special events like boxing and that kind of thing, which is interesting because that's not something HBO does.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I didn't know if HBO puts their all the sports in. I thought it was everything, because if it is everything, then they'll include their boxing. But it's not like, say, I mean, it's not like, you know, you don't get a pay-per-view like the Mayweather Pacquiao fight for free.
Right, right.
But, you know, they do have regular boxing like every Saturday night or every Friday night or maybe every other week or whatever. You might get that, but...
But, so this is... it's going to premiere on Apple devices, just like HBO, and eventually be on everything else. So, Apple TV is getting a nice boost from all this. The interesting thing about this is that the timing is good because they're also potentially going to do an 8-part The Stand miniseries.
Yeah.
That will lead into the Stand movie.
Yeah, that's...
You're not on board this?
I never saw the movie, actually. I never saw the original The Stand.
The TV
miniseries?
The miniseries on TV.
I liked the original miniseries. I mean, it's dated now.
It's very dated, but at the time, when did it come out, like in 86?
Yeah,
87,
it was,
like that?
It was better than that, right?
I read something that said it wasn't very good.
I
don't know.
At the time.
At the time, I was a teenager or a preteen, so I thought it was really cool. But because there was nothing like that on television that I saw, like the whole...
What is it about?
It's about like, disease, something took...
Yeah, it was a disease, it was the super flu.
Super flu took out like all these people, so there was like people coming from the East Coast to the West Coast, and they're basically the trail...
Sort of a global disease apocalypse happens, and then there's a battle for good between good and evil.
Right.
That is represented by a guy in Las Vegas who may be the devil, and a woman who is sort of a prophet, and it's sort of a battle between good and evil in this post-apocalyptic wasteland. It's really good. It's really interesting. It's one of Stephen King's best books, in my opinion.
Right.
Huh. And it's a show that this is a story that was never going to work as a movie, just one movie.
No,
talking about doing four, which might have worked.
Right.
But this is unprecedented. We have not seen a miniseries lead into a movie like this. I don't think.
No, it did. I remember
we might get a Community movie.
Oh, of course, sure. But something starting out planned, like we're going to do an 8-part miniseries on cable, then into a movie to finish it up. That's new. Josh Boone, the guy directing it, is the guy who did Fault in Our Stars.
Oh, cool.
There's the obvious question is why is this not coming to HBO? And it's because CBS has rights to The Stand because they did the original miniseries. And I think this is fascinating, and I also think this is one of the things that would get people onto Showtime. If they have The Stand, this is a big, beloved epic. I mean, it may not be Game of Thrones, but it's not too far off.
Wow.
So I think this is huge for them. I think this is huge for them.
I know.
And I hope it does well. I hope they actually do it. It's still in talk, so it may not happen.
Actually, this is 19...
the same cast?
Yeah, I imagine it will be. Because here's the thing. They talked about that. They've talked to...
they're going
to
have the same cast from the miniseries?
Yeah.
From the movie.
Yeah, they've been talking about... Oh. No, not the original miniseries.
Oh, okay, because first of all, it came in 94. I don't know why I thought it was...
So the movie, the people from the movie agreed to also be in an 8-part miniseries.
Yes. But according to The Wrap, which is the people who broke the news, Boone is going to A-list stars the project. Matthew McConaughey has long been rumored as Randall Flagg, the sort of big bad guy. He'd be perfect for it, by the way. Mm-hmm. And more stars have warmed up to the idea of TV miniseries because of the success of shows like True Detective.
Right.
And then followed up the movie, that's pretty crazy. So
Unless it sucks.
Well, okay, the original, now I'm looking at it, the original people in it, and that's why I thought it was pretty good. Had Gary Sinise, Miguel Ferreira, Rob Lowe, Ossie Davis, Ruby Dee. Yep. I remember there, Jamie Sheridan, Laura San Giacomo, Molly Ringwald. I remember that specifically because it was kind of like a coming back of Molly Ringwald, you know, a little bit, you know.
It was a solid mid-90s cast.
Yeah, and it was on ABC, not NBC. But
It wasn't on CBS?
No, it was on ABC.
Oh, well, somehow CBS has rights. That's weird.
It could have been one of those things where somebody was buying rights to a show and who knows,
but at any rate
I liked it.
I think that's a big thing for Showtime, and I think that's going to be interesting to see. I'm unlikely to get the Showtime streaming. It's one of those where I might buy it for a couple months to catch up on Penny Dreadful or something.
Or you might just borrow someone's password.
Well, because the thing is, Showtime has not, or no other network or a service like Amazon has shown any interest in showing Showtime shows. Like
Amazon has, or Netflix has some of Showtime stuff.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, they've got Weeds and Californication and all that kind of stuff. All
right, so maybe they do. I don't know.
You just don't look for it because it's not, none of it is like A-list content for the most part. Even the ones that start out A-list, like Homeland, quickly sort of devolves.
Yeah.
So Showtime does not have a big hit that I think isn't going to anchor it the same way.
No.
I'm sure it will. For people who love the Showtime stuff, that's great. And I think The Stand is going to be a big hit.
The only biggest hit they ever had was Dexter, right?
Yeah.
For the people who like that shit.
No, I've watched a lot of Showtime stuff.
So I
loved Weeds. I liked Californication for a long while. I watched Homeland.
I liked a lot of Dexter.
Liked a lot of Dexter.
Before it
I've watched a lot of it, but I'm not sure I'd be willing to pay for most of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I watch it because it's available, but not because it's like I have to watch like Game of Thrones.
Start things off with Hannibal, Randy.
Yeah.
It is back for a third season.
That's so cool.
It starts off so gorgeous.
Yeah.
The cinematography just blows my mind on this show.
It's a beautiful show. And they shoot a lot of it in Europe.
Yes, because they have European backing.
Yep.
If you're wondering how this show with such low numbers keeps surviving, it's because all the cannibals over in Europe love this show.
Yeah. I mean, I assume that's true. They're all cannibals over there.
They're
right?
all food fetishists.
Yeah.
And cannibals.
Great.
Yeah. This episode is interesting because when we left off, Hannibal had killed most of the cast.
Seemingly
killed most of the cast. And rather than let us all off the hook, Brian Fuller did a full episode that just has Hannibal and Bedelia in it.
Yeah, a couple of flashbacks.
So, yeah, but really, I mean, Will Graham and
we do not know their
Jack
fate.
Crawford and who's
Come
the other?
Will Graham and Jack Crawford are still alive.
Yeah, well, they're all the credits still.
Yeah.
And Fuller actually talked about this at ATX Fest. He's like, yeah, you know, there's only so much surprise you can do, and then marketing ruins it, or, you know, you have to put the names in the credits. He says, there's only so much surprise I can offer. But
yeah.
But I did think that was kind of funny that they're not even in the first episode. It's Hannibal and his European adventures.
Which he, Brian Fuller also discussed during the ATX Fest. The structure of this season.
Yeah.
Which he said the first half is going to... Is that too...
No. Here's the thing. He's been saying in interviews that Red Dragon would probably be season 4, right?
Yeah.
Or season 5. I mean, he was talking about doing 7 seasons.
Wow.
And he has sort of scaled back. He says, now I'm thinking maybe 5, maybe 6.
Because Red Dragon is going to jump in halfway through this
season.
Halfway
through the season, he's doing Red Dragon, yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think of this premiere?
I thought it was great. Especially, I got to see it twice. I watched it at home, and then I watched it again on the big screen at ATX Fest. And watching it again, I recommend watching Hannibal twice, by the way, because some of the stuff that I wasn't 100% clear on what was going on with the identity being stolen and with the guy who figured it out and why he was doing what he did, it was much clearer on the second viewing when I wasn't sort of just blown away by all the beautiful looking scenery and the dialogue and all that kind of thing. When I could focus in on what's going on now, I got a better sense of what the story was.
Yeah, I mean, I got that he killed that one guy, but I didn't think he took his identity. The guy he killed in the beginning?
Yes, that's what happened.
He killed that guy and
stole his identity. And the reason that he killed the other guy's involved is because the other guy meets him when he's Hannibal.
Yeah.
And is talking about Roman, the other guy. And then when he next meets Hannibal, Hannibal's posing as Roman.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
And then basically...
He's like, I'm cool with it because I think there's some kinky thing going on.
Yeah, yeah. And so that there was a thing where basically Bedelia sort of invited him in, knowing that Hannibal was going to have to deal with this guy. And that's part of the deal is, what's her game? Bedelia, of course, is played by Gillian Anderson. And the question is, I mean, what do you think, Grant? Do you think is she along? Is she on his side?
I think she's a reluctant passenger. And she's kind of terrified, but she feels a little bit in his grasp.
Do you think she's trying to trap him? Because what was that about the going to buy the wine and the herbs, I think, or the truffles? And then she sits at the train station right where the camera can see her.
Yeah, she turns specifically to let the camera see her.
So I think she's leaving breadcrumbs.
Interpol, I guess.
I think she's leaving breadcrumbs to Hannibal.
Or she's leaving him for Jack Crawford or someone.
Yeah.
Or Will Graham, more specifically.
Right. But at the same time, she is basically aiding and abetting Hannibal.
Yeah. Which is interesting when he said, are you an observer or a participant?
Yeah.
That whole speech while he's murdering a dude.
Yes. We also saw a flashback to a little more of her patient getting killed that we've heard about.
Oh, yeah.
And there's still questions there, but it seems
why
that she
was
killed
her
the guy.
Hand down his
she
throat?
Was trying to get something out of his throat.
Wow.
Yeah. It was
really
creepy. And the big surprise was the black and white flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
In a different aspect ratio, by the way, too, which was really cool.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I guess I hadn't even
And
noticed.
That is, who's the actor? Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard.
Is still in it, despite the fact that he's been eaten at this point.
Yeah.
And they're flashing back to him and Hannibal having this sort of discussion as he slowly eats him.
As he's taking different body parts and feeding the both of them.
Yes.
I love Eddie Izzard, like his whole callous sloppiness.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, like, being rude and slovenly is an affront to Hannibal's sensibilities.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
And so he was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Especially with the escargot, and I was like, that's
of course, he was also trying to eat with only one arm, so that's...
he's at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah, so since he fed the snails on his arm, so... And that was also interesting, the whole, what he's feeding to Bedelia, and what he's also was feeding him, the food that sort of sweetens the meat.
Yeah.
So, like, that whole thing where he's, like, trying to get people to taste better before he eats them.
I mean, how do they come up with
I don't know
these disgusting and yet gorgeous ways to eat humans?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Brian Fuller really wants to sell us on this idea of, like, you know, maybe I'll try human. At the end of the series, you're probably just going to go, fuck it, I'll eat a person.
Well, Fuller said something at ATX Fest. He said, you know, knowing what we know now about sort of pigs and cows' intelligence, he said, once you're eating meat, you're basically a cannibal. And I'm like, wow, that's a
lot.
An interesting take.
The whole thing is a campaign for meat is murder.
Yes. No, the whole thing's a campaign for cannibalism, Grant. Just go ahead and do it.
So you got to see the second episode. I did,
and the second episode is really good. I won't give anything away because it's not even aired yet. But I will say that Will Graham is in it.
Ah.
That's a spoiler! It also takes place in Europe. And it seems like a lot of the season may take place in Europe.
Yeah. Okay.
But
you were also equally impressed with it?
Oh, I thought it was a great episode. Yeah.
I thought the first episode was actually a little slow. For what usually occurs in one of these episodes.
Maybe the first time through, I was never bored. I was never at a point where I was like, oh, what? I never looked to see how much time was left, which is how I measure whether or not I was bored.
There's a couple points where I was like pausing and distracted.
There's not been a kid that for me, I was 100% into this. I really liked this episode. So,
okay, well.
People should watch the show. If you're not watching the show, watch the show.
Watch the show.
I know it involves murder and cannibalism. Watch the show.
It's great. Great cannibalism. All right. Let's move on to talking about Game of Thrones.
Speaking of murder and cannibalism.
This is the penultimate episode for season 5. And we got some big stuff to happen.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And this is just like the previous episode.
Yeah.
There's the big moment that you think is going to be the big moment. And then there's the big moment at the end that's actually the big moment.
Like, okay, let's go ahead and stop talk about the Stannis thing.
Oh, and spoiler.
Now, was that in the book?
No, not yet.
Okay, because that
although they did specifically say that was what George R. R. Martin intended.
Yeah.
So that's part of his
vision. It didn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Also, just because, I guess maybe because of the previews of the thing right before the episode, and also, you know, okay, what's his face? The Hand of the King. He goes off and he has his moment with her.
Were you guys like me? Were you sitting there going, take her with you. Please take her with you. I thought he was going to. I thought maybe.
For Davos?
Yeah, Davos.
We're talking about Sansa's daughter getting burned at the stake.
Yeah.
No one knows. I thought you just listen to us and don't watch the show.
Yeah. I thought Davos was maybe going to take her against the Kings. I thought he knew what was going on.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did either
because there's no way. But he would never have left her to
that. He wouldn't have done that.
But he didn't know also because he's just more concerned about, hey, man, I don't know if this is a good idea. So, yeah. We've lost our horses.
I mean,
Oh, I think this might be the thing that finally breaks. I think we could see Davos kill Stannis. Yeah. I think that this is the thing where he will decide that he can't be the king now.
Well, I don't know because if you think about it, this show has a way of just twisting guys and just basically the bad people, the cruelest people, end up at the top. So who's more cruel now? Like, Sebastian wrote a really interesting way of looking at this. He said, okay, now you think Stannis is going to go take out the guys.
Boltons, yeah.
And everybody hate Ramsay. Everybody hates that guy.
Yeah.
Now, do you hate Ramsay more than Stannis because he had to kill his daughter to get the power to go kill Ramsay? And it's like, oh, if you put it that way.
I still hate Ramsay more.
I mean, I hate Ramsay more.
Ramsay's a psychopathic bastard who kills for fun. Stannis does it because he's a religious zealot and he thinks that's what needs to be done.
Kind of like the Duggars, like they said, it's okay if we molested our kids, but it's okay because we just said it was all right. Yeah.
But they're all horrible, don't get me wrong.
But they're horrible. This is a horrible place with horrible people.
Yeah.
And the only thing about it that was just what was interesting was the mom who was going with it.
She's been against the daughter
all of a sudden when she actually said, oh shit, they're actually going to do this, and then the motherly instinct kicks in.
Yep.
So I thought that was interesting, and just the screams and then how it just stopped.
And now Stannis just stands there.
Yep.
Just stoic in the face of it.
Here's the interesting thing. I've seen this. This is another one of those, I'm quitting Game of Thrones forever.
Oh, I'm not doing
that.
That's ridiculous.
And each week.
Every week there's a thing. And if you're watching at this point, how do you not know what this show's about? They basically forecast this was going to happen.
But, I mean, again, you watch the first episode. There were terrible shit happening in the first episode, and you knew what this show... That's what drove me in. I was like, they showed this on TV.
And I've seen people say this seemed out of character for Stannis.
No, it doesn't.
I'm like, no, it's not. He's been a religious fanatic from the outset.
He was burning people at the very beginning.
Yeah.
He's having sex with... He's got his wife convinced that it's okay for him to have sex with a witch.
That's the greatest trick that any man has ever pulled. Was that the hot redhead is traveling with you? Like, no, I have to have sex with her for the good of the kingdom.
That's
James Bond shit there. So that's not really the same thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad guy. That's a hero.
It's terrible. But it's. I mean, it's not out of character. I mean, I don't know. I just don't.
No, a lot of people they did that scene where he sort of played against type and talked about, you're my daughter, and that's why I saved you from the grayscale.
No,
and
but I think anything...
Everybody was holding onto that as a lifeline.
No.
Like, he's not going to burn his daughter. I'm like,
but they specifically did that.
That's why they
make it more painful.
Yes, right. Because you wanted to feel that he didn't do this because he didn't like her, didn't care about her. He did it despite that.
Yeah.
And for anyone to be pissed at the show for it because it was uncomfortable, the point of it was supposed to be uncomfortable. It's supposed to be horrible.
Yeah.
We're supposed to not have any... You're not supposed to have a good guy to root for here. You have the less than bad guy.
Another thing to point out, as terrible as the entire thing is, pretty much all those people in that camp were dead people.
Yeah.
Including his daughter.
That's true.
All of them. Because they didn't have any more food. They're out in a frozen wasteland. They're all going
to
die.
They have to eat the rest of the carcasses of the burnt horses.
Yeah. Her as a sacrifice might be their only other lifeline in order to get them out of this situation.
It's true.
And it's just one of those things that makes you sick to your stomach.
The thing I would have liked to have seen, and I'm not surprised they didn't do it,
right.
But I would like to have seen it made the parents' choice, not the king's choice, because even if logically you can say, well, my daughter's going to die anyway, I might as well burn her at the stake. No parent is going to be like, fuck you, all of you can die. I'm going to see if I can save my daughter.
Well, what he would have done, he would have sent his wife and daughter off
along with Davos.
He didn't do that.
Yeah.
No, my family stays with me.
Yeah.
Now, he's just, it's going to be interesting how this plays out and if this works. Because, I mean, if it doesn't work, boy, talk about feeling like an asshole.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is that Bolton came in and burned the tents, and that's what led to all of this.
Right.
But before he did that, Melisandre was standing there staring into the flames.
Yeah.
I got the sense that maybe she helped this along.
Yeah, that's kind of, like that. The way I was looking at it, I was like, at first I thought she did it.
Yeah.
Because I forgot. I mean, I had no idea what...
Well, the question is, did she mystically allow the guards to fall into a sleep or something, and that's how they got in? Because they made a big deal about how I think she had something to do with it.
I think she definitely had something to do with it.
Because she wanted to push him into making the sacrifice.
I don't think Davos tries to kill Stannis. I think he tries to kill her, finally.
Yeah.
You know, or sacrifices him to try to take her out.
Yeah.
I mean, Stannis, because he's like... He's just in a fog and in a haze around her, and that's been the battle the whole time since he's been introduced. And I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I liked also the kind of like the Jon Snow coming in, and Helene said something funny. She goes, "How do they have eyes that good to be able to see that he knew that it was just Jon Snow to open the gate?" I was like, so yeah, it's kind of. I mean, I'm starting to notice like little things, like yeah, that kind of doesn't make any sense, but who cares, you know? But you got everybody coming into the wall after they open the gate, and I love this, the look of the giant coming in. They're all like, "Oh shit,
yeah,
he's coming in here. This is fucked up."
It all went without incident. It was good.
Yeah, except that what's the name of the guy who's
the guy he left in charge?
The head ranger crossing to McGee.
Yeah.
Who comes up and says, "You've got a good heart, Jon Snow. It's going to get us all killed."
Yeah.
And he's but in the world of Game of Thrones, he's right.
Right.
But I mean, I think Jon Snow sees the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And he's
especially
making
now
the best call.
Yeah.
One else seems to realize that, and they weren't there for the last episode.
Well, but the interesting thing is, like, if anything, he won over those wildlings because he saved their life, and the wildlings will have to follow Jon Snow and the guy with the red beard too. That dude, because they saw it with their own eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I totally wanted Snow to just pull out his iPhone and be like, "Check out some of these videos I just took from rescuing them."
Hey, did you see them do the Michael Jackson Thriller thing?
Yeah.
This guy is real.
Are you not following my Instagram? Dude, that's messed up.
Yeah.
at Headcrow.
Interesting thing over on the Bravo side of things.
Yes.
We see Arya comes across Meryn Trant.
Yeah.
And the guy who... killed Serio Forel,
right,
or at least she believes he did.
Right.
And he's just an all-around shit anyway.
Yeah. And here's my question. we already know this guy's a shit. He's been a shit for a long time. Right. Do we have to make him a pedophile too?
Yes.
Well, I think the pedophilia is gonna tie in. I think it adds in. Yeah. It adds to he's a schmuck, but also I think that's gonna be her in.
It's her in. Yeah. I think you're probably right.
That's what I thought she was gonna do. Actually, there.
Yeah.
But the fact that she didn't is like okay. That's gonna
and
get
she
her.
She needs to plan ahead a little bit better. Well, and
that's
a method.
That's gonna give her problems though because she's not supposed to be killing people for revenge.
Right. She's not doing her job like.
Gotta be true to her.
Yeah, but there's no way she's gonna leave that guy alive. Way.
Well, but what about the fishermen?
We all want.
And it's funny, Grant, is that you and I haven't read the books. Know of something that may happen to her as a result of this? Because it wasn't Marin. It wasn't Marin in the books, right?
But she kills for revenge.
There is somebody she kills that she's not supposed to, and it leads to something. But it's not Marin Trent, right? I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't think it is.
So I think they're adding some stuff in here, but if it goes the way it does in the books, I remember it being pretty bad for her. So
we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Then there's Dorne. Does anyone give a shit about Dorne?
Nope.
No. I wish I did. I wanted to be cool. I don't give a shit.
The one thing that I was hoping would be, I mean, I love what's his name, Bronn.
Yeah.
Right.
And carting him out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see them do something a little bit more to him than just him getting
hit in the face. Mm-hmm. It was still funny.
I was like, they were about to kill this guy. I figured he was going to get castrated or something worse.
No. But then what just happens to the girls? And I actually thought that the sister was going to like bite his finger or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't think she would submit that quickly.
Yeah.
So, but the girls now.
The sand snakes, they're still going to go renegade. You know that.
Yeah, but how? Are they going to get expelled? Are they going to get killed?
I don't know. The thing is.
I think you're going to get detention.
That's what it looked like. They're gonna get they look like three high school girls. You were tagging a bathroom.
I think that mostly what this was, they needed to get Jaime out of King's Landing so that they could do all the Sparrow stuff. Because if Jaime was there, that shit wouldn't have gone down. Jaime would have gone and killed the Sparrows and taken before he let his sister rot in a jail cell.
Sure, right.
Yeah. So this was all to get him out. And unfortunately, the story has not been interesting. I thought it was gonna be a cool like more of a Middle Eastern setting and do some cool different things, but. It's been a loss, and it's the worst part of the season.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
But then...
Let's get to the big one.
So back in... Meanwhile, Mac and Marine...
Yeah.
A couple episodes ago, two episodes ago, I guess, we got to see a little lame-looking battle that Jorah Mormont wins.
Right. Oh, I liked that battle.
Yeah, but then it seemed like really cheap and budget.
Small stakes.
And you're like... Not Jorah. Man, like...
Oh, you're talking about the...
Where Jorah's just fighting all those people.
I thought you were talking about the alley fight with the harpies.
No, but that was... It was kind of like a D-League... It's like a D-League game.
It was.
So it was okay.
Talk more about sports, Greg.
It felt so budget that I was like, what does this kind of say for the whole thing? And it just meant, this is
they were
specifically
saving it.
Because of how grandiose the other,
you know, you have to get through all the... It's kind of like tryouts. You know, they get through all the guys who think they can do stuff. Knock them out, kill them. And then you get the real people to put them up in a big show. And when he threw that javelin thing, I was like, well, first of all,
that was his only display of skill, it seemed, because he should have died like five or six times
kicked.
Except everyone else was just like, oh, I'm going to showboat a little bit until I get killed.
No, but the funniest part, though, easily was understand. What's his name?
Tyrion.
Not Tyrion, no. The other guy. The guy with the... Guy from Tremé.
The commander of the Seven Sons.
Yeah. That dude, he's like, oh no, when you're a smaller guy, I know you can move. Yeah. He's giving all the stuff, and all of a sudden the big dude just cuts the guy's head off. He just walks away. That killed me.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was funny. And while he was doing it, I'm like, dude, don't you see the mountain? Didn't you see what happened with the mountain?
Yep.
And obviously he didn't see what happened to the mountain, but those big guys win all the time.
But I also thought it was interesting that Danny saw the bloodthirstiness of the people and realizing that... Even if she gives them what she wants, they're essentially horrible people. She can't rule people who are like this. So, and I thought it's interesting to see Tyrion, who is as cynical as anybody else, but really is kind of an idealist. He keeps talking about how he's like the world does not have to be the way it is. And I thought he got some great cuts in at her husband, sort of yes, it's amazing how the world works the way it works, and it works out so beautifully for you.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I thought there was some great dialogue
and the whole like Daenerys, you can stop this and save Jorah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he immediately has like an affection for Jorah.
No, well,
because he saved him.
Yeah, that
after kidnapping him.
but then I mean, the whole thing about Tyrion is that he's always been an idealist. He never, more so than his size.
Yeah. But he's still the moral compass.
Well, if you think about it, more than his size, it's more the fact that he just didn't have the same philosophy as his brother, sister, and his father. He never really did.
No.
That's why he's always into like drinking and having sex. He's like, this is what life's about. I'm rich. I want to be rich. It's not about ruling people and just, you know, treating people badly for sport. I want to indulge. I'm a glutton. Mm-hmm. And now he's kind of brought that ideal out to be able to like, well, everybody should have the opportunity to live this way.
Yeah.
And he's really
matured, I guess.
Mature because, well, I mean, first of all, they tried to kill him. I mean, they put him on trial for a bogus thing. Yeah. So it probably changed his thing. And then the fact that he killed his father is probably, in a weird way, kind of like really freeing.
So the drinking, whoring, murderous dwarf is what we're calling the moral compass of the show.
Is that right?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Hey, but he only kills to protect him or somebody he loves.
So were you
somebody he loved.
Were you guys surprised by the scope of the harpy attack?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was.
So when Jorah gets up and throws the spear,
there was a guy there.
I thought he was trying to kill her husband.
No.
I thought he was trying to kill her husband.
I knew as soon as he threw it, I was like, oh, he stopped something.
I didn't get it. And then they turn around and there's a guy there, and I'm like, oh shit. And then
All of them in the stands, everywhere, and
I'm like, "Oh, this is going to get bad fast." And it did, like, because despite the fact that she has this army around her, they do not do close quarters fighting well.
No.
And so all of a sudden, she was very much outnumbered.
I did notice that they sure were chucking spears at the dragon.
Yeah.
Where were those spears going toward her?
Yeah.
There was a bunch of that. I mean, part of that.
You have to let go of stuff with fighting, you know, because it's like there's always a moment in most action
scenes where people pause
to look at
something. That's why Jorah is like alive.
So I'm like, okay, this is driving me nuts because while they're pausing to look at the dragon before it gets down there, all I gotta do is like, okay, I can go after him right now.
Yeah.
But you let it go because it's just an action movie flaw anyway.
Yeah.
So I let it go. But then when the dragon came down,
were you guys expecting the dragon?
Yes, easily. Totally. Yeah, that was easy.
When they were surrounded, I really thought the dragon was going to come and just roast all the ones around.
So did I.
Yeah, but I also, you know, this is from the book. They adapted it. But
I've forgotten it too.
Yeah.
I've seen people complain online that it seemed like the dragon's timing was really coincidental and good.
Who cares? So what?
I don't agree. I think that, first of all, she closes her eyes. And I think people misread that as her being ready to die. Yeah. I think she was calling the dragon.
So do I.
The other thing is, I think
that the dragon sensed she was in peril beforehand.
That's the other thing I was going to say is I think the dragon knows.
He
came when she was sad.
Yeah.
So I think that he knew she was in danger and came.
Right.
This was not coincidence. That's storytelling. It's a thing that he does.
Yeah.
So. Right. Well, it's like anybody with a pet. I mean, this is a big-ass pet that can fly and burns people. But if your dog or your cat feels you're bad, they come up to you. They know. They sense it.
It was amazing seeing the dragon burn people, rip them in half. Yep.
The ripping in half was awesome.
And then it screams at her.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great shot.
Yeah.
My complaint is when she hops on the dragon and leaves,
it's like, what?
That looked so corny.
Yeah.
That looked terrible.
Well, I just kind of like...
The one part, and I was like...
But it's a big moment.
I know.
So,
they would have nailed how it looked.
Yeah.
But then I'm like... The other guys should be like, what the fuck? What about us, man?
Oh, yeah. Everyone else? What do you think? Do they get kidnapped or
no?
There's not that many left.
No. And by the way, I mean, you know, I always watch the previews, so of course they're in a preview. So I knew nothing was going to happen to them. I do want to see how they get out of...
Where the hell are her...
Where's the
30,000 Unsullied?
They're outside. They should have been. But she doesn't bring her whole. She shouldn't bring her whole army with her. When she goes to see an event.
In a city
where people don't like her.
But she had bodyguards with her. She had Unsullied in the stands, and she had her seventh son.
But where's the main Unsullied guy?
But these guys are supposed to be like amazing warriors that are just trained from birth. And why are these Sons of the Harpy that good at fighting? You know what it is.
They're terrorists.
They're ISIS, man.
They fight a totally different way.
The other guys have grown lazy.
Traditional warfare does not work throughout history.
Yes.
Traditional warfare versus guerrilla warfare.
The American Revolution was that way. That's why we beat the British, because we fought guerrilla warfare compared to what the British were used to fighting.
On the battlefield, the Unsullied are unstoppable, but in the streets, they are not. They're shield and lance people.
Their lances are way too long. That's why the harpies can get in. Yeah, they get in real close.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy Tyrion, you know.
Yeah.
pulling up the knife, which he's done before. Yeah. Yeah. He's done before.
Well, I like him protecting her. Yeah, you were her protecting her translator and her
second. Yeah, protecting the sounder, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
And we loved the husband getting
I like the husband got killed. That guy was a shit, and I hated him.
He was an asshole, and he probably was part of it anyway.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so good
Although
for
he
him.
Seemed kind of surprised,
and,
so maybe
and
not.
And Jorah getting back in her good graces, like she takes his hand kind of thing. I was like, ah. I mean, I was expecting that he would have been accepted when she saw him the other time when he presents Tyrion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is a better way that he has earned that that trust.
Yeah. Which is not going to go too far. He's
basically taken the spot of Ser Barriss and Selmy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to go too far. He's still got that stone disease.
He's got the gray. Yeah,
so we'll see that his dying scene with him back in the good graces of Daenerys. Yeah. But overall, I mean, I'm trying to remember. Every other season has had like one epic battle.
Yeah.
This one has two.
Yeah.
I mean, that just, I mean, because last week I literally thought maybe the dragons were going to come. Somehow they were doing some kind of really putting together all the worlds together where the dragon came out and didn't even kill the wildlings. We're just going to kind of just show itself like, oh shit, we're really in trouble. And then, you know, but now that they're here and then you had the White Walkers last week. It's going to be interesting to see which one wins, because then you think. Because the other thing is, there's only three dragons, and if those guys if those harpies with spears can kind of wound one of them, and that's like the crazy one.
The White Walkers could,
They still got a bit of growing to do, I guess. So, Greg, tomorrow or next Sunday is the finale.
Yeah.
What prediction do you have that we'll see?
I have no idea. I mean,
given where the plot lines are all heading,
I don't know because. We still got to figure out what's going to happen with the trial with Cersei. We still got to figure out how they resolve the
even Cersei be put to death. You think?
No.
Wow, that'd be crazy. Big. That'd be crazy.
What about her name? Arya.
Arya.
I imagine we'll see.
We'll kill somebody.
See the thing that we know.
Arya is going to kill somebody. The battle for the thing I'm interested in the most is the battle for Winterfell. That's the one because I don't know which way that's going to go.
I don't think we're going to see that.
I would think that is what we're going to see.
I think that's
the big final battle.
But they don't always do big final battles. They usually do a big penultimate, and then that's sort of a coda for the finale.
Yeah, but this one, they have to, though, because with that battle...
I don't know. Look at the White Walkers last season.
Yeah.
That was pretty big at the finale.
But maybe so.
I mean, because how are you gonna let Stannis kill his daughter and not show the battle? That's kind of... I don't know. It seemed a little bit more...
We'll see. I also suspect that we're going to see Jaime return to
doing the trial at
King's Landing. That's going to be interesting.
At the right time.
Yeah.
Jaime at the right time. When you think Cersei is maybe about to get convicted, that Jaime comes back and says, what the fuck's going on here? And just takes over. Maybe Jaime, and then with the or pushes the king.
He's the head of the Kingsguard.
Yeah. And he pushes the king, too. Yeah. And plus, I mean...
He'd be like, look, son. And I just mean like... Son, as in friend.
Not biological. I'm really not your son. Awkward. Hey, I know you look like me and got blonde hair, but that's not me.
turns into Rodney Dangerfield. Greg doing Rodney.
I got one hand. I got no respect.
But we got to see what happens with the king's wife. Yeah. Maybe she gets sacrificed. Maybe she dies.
Yeah, who knows?
You know, because they still have to do the brother, her and her brother.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what their grandmother's going to do. And who came back?
Brienne. We haven't seen Brienne.
But then they're also sending where Jaime's coming. They're also sending the young prince to be at the table.
Small council. Yeah, I think that's going to pay off more next season.
Oh yeah.
I have no idea what's going to happen at the end, but I'm very much looking forward to.
This will be fascinating.
Yep.
All right, folks, y'all know the drill. Hit up iTunes, hit up Patreon for us. We all appreciate it. And let us know what you guys think about these shows. Until next time,
TV Dudes out.
This is a journey into jazz.
two. Base A check check one one two. じゃ考えすぎても練習しすぎてもなんだしまずは音を出そうどうせお前は俺を出し抜きそんで俺はあんたを出し抜きマジで油断も隙もないヤバいセッション誰も知らない次のダイレクション全てはアクション上のリアクション企画書のないワクション君はスケールの裏の裏で俺はビートの裏で交わすアクション白いノートと黒いノートの間のグレイなゾーンに花咲く会話聞かしてやろうぜミスターサクソフォンしばらく休ませるぜ俺のマイクあ言えばこう言う、こう言えばそう言う、そう言う、グーピーなこう言う、続けよう、I'm and still we go zone、スピンさせんなそのエモーション。
The TV News is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TVDudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes, and help us on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.